BBC News with Gaynor Howells. Norwegians have attended church services across the country to remember the nearly 100 people killed in the shootings and bomb attack on Friday. The main service, attended by the royal family and political leaders, took place in Oslo Cathedral. From Oslo, James Robbins reports.
Oslo's 17th century cathedral was filled with families of the dead and those still missing. Outside, thousands more people crowded around the church. King Harald of Norway led this first opportunity for the nation to come together and confront the scale of collective grief. Norway's Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg, in his address, said several times he found the horror of the past few days incomprehensible.
As the day drew to a close, Norwegians continue to pay their tribute to the dead, adding to the carpet of flowers outside the cathedral. Anish Behring Breivik shot dead at least 86 people at an island campsite near Oslo, though at least five others remain missing and a mini-submarine is searching for them. Seven people died in the car bombing in Oslo. Police, who have charged Mr. Breivik with both crimes, say he has told them he acted alone. John Brain reports on what the Norwegian authorities have been finding out about the gunman.
Just hours before the attack, Breivik posted a manifesto online, an often rambling 1,500-page document, which talks of creating the foremost conservative revolutionary movement in Western Europe. Many here believe Breivik's actions were those of a madman. But David Wilson, a criminologist at Birmingham University, disagrees.
This was a very carefully planned attack, and crucially, unlike most spree killers, he did not take his own life. He clearly wanted to be taken alive because he still wants to send messages through the court and trial process about why he did what he did.
Norway and the rest of the world will be watching closely.
In other news, the Red Cross has managed to deliver food aid inside Somalia to an area controlled by the Islamist group Al-Shabaab. Working through a local committee, the Red Cross brought in food for 24,000 victims of the famine. Martin Plaut reports.
The badly needed aid, consisting of beans, rice and oil, was distributed to families in the town of Badere, in Gedo region, northwest of the capital Mogadishu. The food was delivered by truck, given to locals and others who'd come to the town to escape the famine. The Red Cross delivery took place on Saturday, and they are now moving on to other areas. The delivery indicates that although Al-Shabaab has halted food aid by some agencies in areas they control, other agencies can operate in their territory.
You're listening to The World News from the BBC. The government of Sudan has issued a new currency, which is different to the new currency just announced by the newly independent South Sudan. Khartoum hopes the new currency will prevent the North from being flooded with old notes from South Sudan. Fans of the British singer Amy Winehouse have been leaving tributes, laying flowers and lighting candles at her home in North London where her body was found. Messages lamented the loss of her talent at the age of 27 and said her legend would live on. Colleagues in the music business praised the distinctive, sultry voice which earned Amy Winehouse a worldwide audience. The singer's family said they'd been left bereft by her death and asked for privacy. The Australian cyclist Cadel Evans has won this year's Tour de France. He was declared the overall winner after cycling more than 3,400 kilometres, crossing the finishing line in the centre of Paris. From Sydney, here's Nick Bryant.
No Australian has ever won cycling's most illustrious prize, and for the past 3 weeks, as Cadel Evans has powered his way through France, tens of thousands of his compatriots have been following his progress at home. Given the time difference with Europe, watching the Tour de France here is a nocturnal activity that requires burning significant amounts of midnight oil. But after seeing Cadel Evans finish runner-up in 2007 and 2008, fans considered losing a little sleep, a small price to pay to see him ultimately triumph.
Israeli archaeologists have put on display a tiny golden bell, thought to be 2,000 years old, which was found last week underneath the Old City in Jerusalem. The Israeli Antiquities Authority said it was a very rare find and the first of its kind. They said such bells, about 1 centimetre in diameter, were often sewn as an ornament into the clothes of priests and wealthy residents. It was found during excavations in an ancient sewer in one of the oldest parts of the city. BBC News.